should ask Batch. Batch, were you available last week to help me move?
Probably not.
All right. Thanks.
What day? You didn't even ask, though.
No, I know. Hypothetically, would you help me move?
If it was a day that I could do it and the Canucks weren't playing or something, sure, why not?
That's very specific. Because, look, man, like their schedule's very tough right now, so you clearly weren't available. That's fine.
Yeah, that's why I said probably not. Canucks are playing a lot. I've got a newborn baby daughter, so...
I'm not high on your priority list. I get it.
Busy times in the Bachelor household, yes.
Brendan Batchelor, the voice of your Vancouver Canucks, joining us here on Canucks Central, Bic and the Boss. So it's another game day. It's interesting because a couple of people are texting in about, hey, Cole Lind and all this sort of stuff, and you know maybe Jack Rathbone features into the lineup at some point in these next 11 games. I'll pose this to you. What excites you about checking out a game now?
Well, certainly Cole Lind, for the last couple of games, has been a guy that you look to come into the lineup and provide a spark. And, you know, the Canucks are going to want to see what he's capable of here down the stretch. And the fact that Travis Green has been willing to give him an opportunity up the lineup says how, you know, organizationally they feel about him. It might also say quite a lot about, you know, where the energy levels of some of the other guys are. And, you know, really, they'll get Jonah Gadjevich up here at some point once he quarantines. Jack Rathbone is an option. So those are the things you look at this point in the year for me, just because that bottom, in particular with Gadjevich and Lind, that bottom six forward group has not provided anything at all this year. And, you know, certainly they've got a lot of injuries right now, 8 regular forwards out of the lineup, or 8 forwards that could potentially dress, I guess you could say, out of the lineup tonight. So this means opportunity for all of these guys, as much as, you know, seeing Jace Harlock and Matthew Highmore in the lineup may not be incredibly exciting on the face of it. This is a huge opportunity for some of these guys because they're playing for their NHL futures and they're playing for a chance to continue their careers. So, you know, as much as the playoff hopes are slipping away a little bit, and, you know, there are, you know, young guys that are going to get a chance to come in here, like Lind, like Gadjevich, potentially Rathbone, and they're exciting prospects that fans have followed. There's a lot at stake for many of the guys playing in these games, not just, you know, the names that you haven't seen yet that you want to see a chance get in there.
Batch, it's extremely difficult for these young players to, you know, adjust to the speed, the pace, and you know what, do it consistently. For a game or two, it's fine. But when you have these young guys and they have to come in a situation where you mentioned there's 8 forwards that could possibly dress and are not there, and you can't insulate them with veteran guys, and I won't say hide them, but you want to help them out and put them in a good position to succeed. And now all of a sudden, you've got a lot of younger, inexperienced players playing together, trying to figure it out at the same time. That's not an easy thing for a young player to impress, is it, when you don't have the luxury of having a couple of veteran wingers or a veteran center to skate alongside to help you through this process?
Yeah, and, you know, organizationally, it's a tough spot too, because you want to get these guys in, you want to give them a chance to play at the NHL level, but we hear Travis Green say it with almost any young player that comes in. They want to put that player in a situation to succeed. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to put them on the top power play unit or you're going to play them with the team's top players so they can produce offense, but you want to at least put them in a situation where they can get their feet wet in the league, they can start feeling comfortable playing at the NHL level, and they won't necessarily be exposed or lose confidence. You know, I don't think the Canucks are expecting Cole Lind to come in and score a hat trick in his first game or anything like that, but you want him to come out of the game going, you know what, yes, I believe I can play at this level, and build his confidence and allow him to grow as a player. So certainly that's a lot harder to do when, you know, you're missing a lot of your players out of the lineup. But, you know, that said, that might be part of the reason why Lind is playing up the lineup with guys like Horvat and Pearson, who are experienced NHL forwards, so that he does have a bit of insulation there. And if Jack Rathbone gets in the lineup, it's likely that he'll end up playing with a veteran defenseman like Tyler Myers or potentially Nate Schmidt. So there will be some insulation there in that regard. But at the same time, I know, and we've seen it in past years and with other teams as well, the sentiment is sit out all the vets and just play the kids and let them play. Well, it doesn't exactly work that way, and it's probably not the best situation for the young players to do that as well. So, you know, once Gajovic is cleared to play with the team, it might be a situation where it's Cole Lind or Jonah Gajovic going into the lineup rather than both of them at the same time, just because of that exact thing you point out, C-Mac, that you don't want to just, you know, throw a young kid into the deep end and say, okay, now swim. You want to get them in at the shallow end, or maybe put a life jacket on them to carry that metaphor along. And that's sort of the fine line the Canucks are walking right now with the young players they want to get into the lineup, but also with the injuries they're facing.
On the idea of Cole Lind there playing with Pearson and Horvat, there might be rotation throughout the game. You know, we saw it in the last game as well. But, you know, Nils Höglander is the guy that's played there the most this season. And is there a stylistic or a prototype that has to play with Bo Horvat and Tanner Pearson that you say this is the type of guy that has to go there? And whether it's Cole Lind, whether it's Nils Höglander, just what style of player would you like to see there?
A good puck distributor, to me, is a guy that fits well there. Because Horvat, you know, we know what he is. He's a straight-ahead player. He can score goals when he's in a good spot. Tanner Pearson as well, you know, he can retrieve pucks for you. And he can be opportunistic when put in scoring areas. So to me, if I was trying to draw up that line, I'd want to find someone to play on that other wing that can get them the puck when they get to those areas, or that can help create chances around the net that those guys can score on, you know, second or third opportunities, rebounds, things like that. That to me is the kind of player that fits in there. So, you know, Höglander's had some good stretches there this year. I'm not sure if in the long term that's the ideal fit in terms of a style of player on that line. But that said, he's done pretty well there, and he kind of fits the mold of that line, which is that they're hardworking, they get in on the forecheck, they hound pucks, and they try to create opportunities after that. And one of the things I've been most impressed with Höglander is his compete and his tenacity and in getting after the puck and trying to recover it and keep it and then create with it from there. So in my mind, if I'm drawing out an ideal line mate for Tanner Pearson and Bo Horvat, it's probably an elite puck distributor and setup man. But that said, Nils Höglander has shown that he fits in there too. And I don't know if he's necessarily an elite setup man.
Batch, Thatcher Demko, I felt, rebounded quite nicely the other night in Toronto, was very strong, made the saves he needed to keep his team in the hockey game, and got unfortunate. A couple deflections by him, one off Edler coming out of the corner off a turnover. And then the third goal again was just touched a bit in front where he just missed it. But tonight it's Holtby. And, you know, the one positive that I have seen with the Canucks since their return to play here has been the play of Braden Holtby. What's impressed you about how he's played? And I guess how much do the Canucks need to count on their goaltenders here the rest of the way? Because it just seems like they don't have a ton of gas in the tank, and the goalies really have to stand on their head at times to keep them in hockey games.
Yeah, it feels like they're going to need a goaltender to steal them a game, doesn't it? And Braden Holtby, the biggest thing for me is that he looks comfortable again. He looks like the Braden Holtby that you were hoping to get or expecting to get at the start of the year, where he comes in and he gives your team a chance to win. He's made some high-level saves. I'm not, you know, a goaltending guru like Kevin Woodley or anyone like that, but he does look calmer in the net to me. It looks like, you know, he's allowing the puck to hit him rather than chasing and attacking the game, which whether it's been Thatcher Demko or Jacob Markstrom or any of the goaltenders we've seen come through Vancouver lately, it seems like under Ian Clark, they have the most success when, you know, they let the game come to them and don't try to do too much, which I'm sure is awfully hard as a goaltender, that you want to make a big difference in the game and make the big save. But, you know, goaltending is such a tricky position that, you know, you just have to get into a comfort zone where you allow the pucks to hit you and you're not, you know, being overly aggressive. So I've liked that out of Braden Holtby. I think this late stretch in the season will be important for him. We already talked about, you know, the excitement around getting some of these young guys in the lineup, but you want Holtby to you know, have a strong run into the end of the season here, feel confident about his game again, because more likely than not, him and Demko are the goaltending tandem coming back next year. And, you know, next year's schedule, we expect to be an 82-game season, but at the same time, it's not going to be a normal 82-game schedule because the Olympics are going to be in the middle of the season. And whenever that happens, we normally see the schedule get compressed a little bit. So as much as we talked about coming into this year, you know, 56 games, short season, you're going to need both goaltenders. And coming out of the COVID situation, you know, all the games they were having to play in such a short time, you're going to need both goaltenders. Well, the Canucks are going to need both goaltenders next year as well. And if they can come into the year having full confidence that both Thatcher Demko and Braden Holtby can give them a chance to win on any night, then that will set them up well to try and respond and have a better year next year, certainly, than they've had this season.
He is Brendan Batchelor, the voice of the Canucks here on Sportsnet 650. Batch, you get the benefit of, you know, being the play-by-play guy, seeing all these great players, McDavid and Draisaitl tonight, and you've seen the whole league and got to see all these great players and say their names on the broadcast. Are you disappointed you don't get to say Nikita Triamkins?
I'm not at all. I've been banging this drum for a while that, you know, Triamkin was always intriguing when he was drafted by the Canucks because of his size. But I think he showed in his brief stint in Vancouver and then in the way his career trajectory has gone in the KHL that he likely isn't a top six NHL defenseman. And, you know, there's all the hype around him because of what the potential could be there. But now he's into his mid-20s. It's not like he's lighting up the KHL or has been lighting up the KHL. And, you know, the contract demands, it sounds like we're too rich for the Canucks' blood, especially when you look at the pandemic economy. If you're paying Nikita Triamkin more than you're paying Travis Hamonic, then you've got a problem. So I don't have any issue at all with the Canucks passing on Nikita Triamkin, and I don't think they've missed out on very much, to be honest.
He is Brendan Batchelor. Batch, looking forward to the call tonight. See you then.
Yep, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.